Good morning. As we continue to celebrate and acknowledge the Lenten period and what that means to us, I want to reflect this morning on Romans 5, 12 to 19 on the topic, the gift of God. We reflect on what Christ has done for you and I. He went to the cross of Calvary. Paul, in his great theological treatise to the Romans, made a comparison between life and death. Paul states that sin entered our existence through one man. This man was Adam, and death came through sin. As a result, death spread to all because of one man who sinned in disobedience to God. Paul also reminded us that sin was in the world before the law of God was even given. Adam, down to the 400 years of slavery in Israel, reminded us that there was no law. But even though there was no law, it did not mean that the wages of sin was not still debt. It did not mean that the soul that sinned it shall not surely die. It did not mean that man or woman was not sentenced by the judgment of God. Paul says, even though there was no law, yet death reigned and had dominion over Adam straight down to Moses. There was no law to point out right or wrong, but yet death existed because man had sinned and God had pronounced a judgment that because man was disobedient, man would die. Men were dying. Women were dying. They lived long. Yes, they did, but they still died. Death reigned from the time of Adam to Moses. The word reign in Greek, basileo, means to exercise kingly power. It also means the governor of a province. So death ruled with power on this earth. When one died, when one went to the grave, Sheol, there was no coming back. The grave had become our hostage. The grave had become our jail cell. Metaphorically, the word reign meant to exercise the highest influence and to control. So death controlled the destiny of mankind. It was a one way in with no way out. So Paul said, death reigned. It didn't only reign, but it controlled the destiny of even those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Romans 5, 13 to 14. What was Adam's transgression? Disobedience to God. Even those who were not disobedient to God, death reigned over them. So it was a one-way ticket for everybody with no possibility of escaping the grave. But Paul declared that there is a difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift to us. What is this gracious gift that Paul is talking about? Paul declares it in Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Paul shouts a thank you, God. He says, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. What do we celebrate this Lenten? Is it just the death of Christ? No. It is the fact that when he died, he rose again from the grave. So Paul states, but the free gift is not like the offense. The free gift sets us free from the clutches of sin, debt, and the grave. Whether that debt be physical debt or spiritual debt, as long as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior, the death and resurrection of Jesus has set us free from the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57 says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has defeated death through his resurrection. And he, Paul says, is the first fruit of all those who slept. Revelation 1 verse 18, Christ himself reminds us, I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Paul reminds us that this gift is great. It is great because we have received God's wonderful gift of not just eternal life, but God's wonderful grace and gift of righteousness. You and I have passed from death to life. You and I have passed from death to life. You and I have received God's grace, not just any grace, but an abundance of grace, an overflow of grace. And this grace is an overflowing, inexhaustible supply of God's favor that surpasses the effects of Adam's sin. No wonder the songwriter Julia H. Johnson pens the hymn, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Then the refrain says, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. This grace is not in short supply. It is not scarce. It is there for anyone who desires a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have received God's great gift. We have been positionally declared righteous. Nobody can declare you unrighteous when you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you have received him as your personal savior. It is not based on your performance, but it's based on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Philippians 3 verse 9 reminds us, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul himself had been a Pharisee, zealous about keeping the Mosaic laws, the rules, the rituals, and commandments. But he realized that human efforts could never achieve true righteousness. Human efforts could never deliver him from sin, death, and the grave. He realized that only through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary could men be set free. The key is trusting in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that will bring life, eternal life, not because of performance, but because of Christ who lived a sinless life and became the sacrificial Lamb of God. Now you and I can choose life over death, eternal life over spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God in the next life to come. In closing, the gift can be received by all. Christ paid it all. Truly, the songwriter says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, but he washed it whiter than snow. For by one man's disobedience, many have been made sinners. But through one man, Christ Jesus, many will be made righteous. Amen.